Press TV headlines. Israeli soldiers clashed with Palestinian protesters in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. The U.S. says its troops will face a difficult year in Afghanistan as Western casualties continue to rise. Iraq marks the anniversary of the Saddam regime's chemical attack that killed thousands of Kurds. While you're watching World News here on Press TV, our top story this hour, tensions are high in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, as clashes erupt between the Israeli police and Palestinian protesters. Israeli police fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse hundreds of protesters. 3,000 Israeli police officers have been deployed across the city. At least 100 Palestinians have been wounded and dozens of others arrested. Israel's announcement to expand settlements in Al-Quds, as well as to reopen a synagogue there, has angered Palestinians. On Tuesday, tens of thousands of Palestinians held demonstrations in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip to protest the Israeli policies.
Tens of thousands of people in the besieged Gaza took to the streets on Tuesday to express outrage at reopening of a landmark synagogue in East Jerusalem Al-Quds' walled old city. The protesters, who were carrying Palestinian and Hamas flags and shouting anti-Israeli slogans, converged on the Palestinian Legislative Council. Speakers at the demonstration called for military operations in the occupied territories and urged the Arab leaders, who are due to meet in Libya soon, to take concrete measures to stop Israeli aggressions.
We send a message to the Islamic and Arab leaders to take action and protect the holy city and its mosque. Our cause is in great danger. Our enemies are trying to destroy the mosque and build a so-called temple.
We are witnessing a new uprising in the Palestinian territories. We salute our people who defend the holy site. We call on the Islamic and Arab nations to protect their holy site in Al-Quds, and we will do whatever to defend our mosque and our holy sites.
Tensions in East Jerusalem has risen in recent days with the settlements issue and the rededication of a synagogue there. Palestinian rivals Fatah and Hamas were united in their condemnation of the move. Hamas also declared Tuesday a day of rage and alarm. Exiled Hamas political leader Khaled Mishal slammed it as a falsification of history and warned it could cause the Middle East to explode. The Islamic movement called on Palestinians in East Jerusalem and the West Bank to take serious measures to protect Al-Aqsa Mosque from destruction and Judaization.
Yes, I expect, according to, to what I have seen this day, that there is a big intifada started today, especially in Jerusalem and in Gaza, and I expect that this intifada will be extended to all Arab and Muslim world.
Al-Aqsa and the rebuilt Horva Synagogue are around 700 meters apart in the old city. Israel has barred Palestinian men under the age of 50 and non-Muslims from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound for a fifth day running, after the clashes between police and Palestinians in and around the site. In light of Israel's intention to rededicate a Jewish synagogue next to Al-Aqsa Mosque, Palestinian resistance factions called for a third intifada to defend Al-Aqsa Mosque. Yusuf Al-Halo, Press TV, Gaza.
Well, Israel's announcement to reopen a synagogue in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, has fueled international anger at Tel Aviv's policies. The organization of the Islamic Conference has warned that Tel Aviv's move risks dragging the region into a religious war. The OIC has demanded the international community prevent Israel from continuing what it calls a blatant assault on Muslim sanctities. Iran has also condemned the move and urged the United Nations and the Arab League to take serious action against Tel Aviv. Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine have also called on Arab and Muslim countries to resist Israel's hostile plans in Al-Quds. Israeli authorities reopened the Horva Synagogue close to the Al-Aqsa Mosque on Monday. Well, meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has allayed fears of a rift between Washington and Tel Aviv. At a press conference, Clinton refuted claims that the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has reached its worst level in the past 35 years.
Worst that they've been in 35 years.
Oh, I don't buy that. I've been around not that long, but a long time. We have an absolute commitment to Israel's security. We have a close, unshakable bond between the United States and Israel and between the American-Israeli people. We share common values and a commitment to a democratic future for the world, and we are both committed to a two-state solution. But
that doesn't mean... Well, Clinton says the United States wants full commitment from both Israel and the Palestinians toward reviving peace talks. She said her government was concerned about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and wanted the suffering alleviated. However, Clinton said in order for the Hamas resistance movement to be accepted into a political process, it would have to recognize Israel and relinquish violence. For his part, Irish Foreign Minister Michael Martin said the blockade on Gaza is fueling extremism. Well, in Lebanon, Hezbollah says Israel's settlement plans and negotiations with Palestinians are just attempts to legitimize Tel Aviv's desired borders. Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qasem says Israel aims to deny Palestinian rights. He also called on the Lebanese government to be vigilant about the assistance the United States is providing for Lebanon's private institutions and its municipal councils. Qasem says the government must look into any assistance which involves preconditions that could violate the state sovereignties. The commander of the U.S. forces in the Middle East and Central Asia says 2010 will be a difficult year for U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan. General David Petraeus says the international forces will be involved in tough fighting with the Taliban and will face setbacks this year. He says the American troop surge in Afghanistan is unlikely to reduce violence there. U.S. forces comprise about two-thirds of the whole foreign troops in Afghanistan. President Barack Obama has ordered the deployment of 30,000 more U.S. soldiers, despite rising American troop fatalities there. Well, Afghan officials say a Taliban attack has destroyed at least two German vehicles. The attack took place in the northern province of Kunduz, where a group of German soldiers were setting up a checkpoint. The Taliban have claimed responsibility for the incident. The militant spokesman, Sabihullah Mujahid, also claimed that several German soldiers have been either killed or wounded. Well, Iraq remembers the brutal massacre of thousands of civilians in the northern Kurdish village of Halabja 22 years ago. Thousands of people gathered in the village to remember the victims of a gas attack by the executed Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein in 1988. The Prime Minister of Kurdistan region, who attended the gathering, called on the government, the penal court, and parliament to recognize the massacre as genocide. The attack on Halabja took place during the Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s. At least 5,000 people died instantly as a result of the chemical poisoning. Another 10,000 people got severely injured. Most of the dead were women and children. Well, the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is in the UK this week, meeting with his British counterpart Gordon Brown. His visit comes as the 95th anniversary of the deeply controversial killing of the Armenians during World War I approaches. Press TV's Farina Alam has more.
The Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan is on a state visit, but made time for the 1001 Inventions exhibition at the Science Museum in London, where centuries of Muslim advancement in science and technology is being honored. He's the most senior dignitary to visit the display, which has seen tens of thousands come through its doors this year. On the schedule, however, are far more serious matters, including a visit to British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Speaking to Press TV, the Turkish Minister for European Affairs said the visit is long overdue.
We're here to meet with Prime Minister Brown, and while we are in London, we want to see this exhibition. I think there's a lot about our common heritage, and this kind of an exhibition will give us new ideas to look ahead on what we can do together in the future as well.
What do you think the Prime Minister is going to talk to Gordon Brown about?
Well, we'll definitely talk about Turkey's relations with European Union and the negotiations. We'll talk about bilateral relations. We'll talk about our common fight against terrorism. I'm sure we'll talk about Cyprus. And we'll talk about issues that are on the agenda.
But more controversially, there are growing calls in the British Parliament to commemorate the World War I killing of Armenians. Armenia says up to 1.5 million were killed, but Turkey denies there was a systematic attempt to destroy the Christian Armenian people. It's a move deeply opposed by successive Turkish governments.
So your delegation is here at a time when the UK Parliament is trying to adopt a resolution on what they call the Armenian genocide. How is the Prime Minister and your people reacting to this?
We don't believe there was a genocide there. Yeah, in the history, maybe two sides made mistakes, they had problems, but it is not called genocide, this. Our Prime Minister declared we want historians involved in this kind of things and find a solution for us.
Erdogan's visit will include a UK-Turkey trade forum and talks on pressing forward with Turkey's bid for EU membership. Earlier in a media interview, Erdogan also said he believed Iran's nuclear program was a purely civilian one. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan believes Iran's nuclear program is solely civilian.
Iran is insistently speaking of the fact that it's willing to use nuclear energy for civilian purposes, that they are using uranium enrichment programs for civilian purposes only. That's what Mr. Ahmadinejad told me many times before. But it's not very fair to actually manipulate this fact and still keep on believing that Iran is there to produce nuclear weapons.
In an interview with the BBC, Erdogan said that Iran has no intention of developing nuclear weapons. He added that it is Iran's most natural right to develop a nuclear program for civilian purposes. He says it is unfair of nuclear-armed countries to, quote, manipulate the facts about Iran's peaceful program, but not tell Israel to dispose of its nukes. Meanwhile, in a joint press conference with the British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, Erdogan reiterated Turkey's opposition to sanctions against Iran.
Twice before, and we've seen the result. So diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Israeli soldiers clashed with Palestinian protesters in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. U.S. says its troops will face a difficult year in Afghanistan as Western casualties continue to rise. And Iraq marks the anniversary of the Saddam regime's chemical attack that killed thousands of Kurds.